This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Hour number two, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. And the number we want you to be part of is 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Last night in the NBA, there were two blowouts in New York City. The Knicks beat the Kings by 19. The Nets absolutely destroyed the Magic by 37. But within the five boroughs, see, I think nationally, you get the eye will be on the Nets because they have the stars. But it's amazing how in the five boroughs, is anyone talking about the Nets or are they talking more about the Knicks? Back page of the Post had the Knicks. Back page of the Daily News, they featured the Nets. And I was just curious, are the Knicks a more interesting story? Because what the Nets are going to do, we're waiting for July to see what the result of all this is. We get it. You guys are really good. But the Knicks are more of that, this has been a dead franchise for a number of years. And they're finally showing signs of life with an exciting team that's very young and, of course, still very much troubled and has a lot of issues that they got to fix. But there's something about that, I think, that you kind of love, this little engine that could. It's just ironic that it's flipped, that it's no longer the Nets being that little engine that could and the Knicks being that expensive. This would be like the Mets being the expensive team and the Yankees, you know, running on a budget with a bunch of young guys that are just playing out of their minds with a great manager. Oh, like, you're not used right. to that. It hasn't really happened. I mean, the Yankees are on a budget, but it's much different reasons. So I'm just curious, and I want to get to the calls. We got BS trends that are coming up. So let's grab some calls here, and let's get the feel from what you think about these two teams and kind of the comparison between the two. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's go to Rich in New Jersey. Go ahead, Rich.
Yo, Alan, what's up, man? First, I just want to start by saying you're so fundamentally wrong here. Let's just clear the air. First off, Nets fans in general, they're not concerned with being the king of New York. And your barometer here, your measuring stick of who got the back page of the Post, that's where you're at right now as a Knicks fan, man. That's where it is. I mean, that's where you guys are. I mean, that's
Rich
that's
is Rich is actually Rich want. Is what. All right, Rich, it's not where I'm at. Be honest with you. It's a question I'm asking because one team's really good and it's this whole idea of they're going to take over the city and yet it doesn't have an impact. It doesn't. That's why I'm asking that. Are people
over the city? No, but
well, that's what I heard from all you guys. I heard that. That's all I kept hearing. That's all I was hearing.
But before
so I'm curious about that. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Did the Yes Network not put out some statement, a release, a press release? You never see this from a regional sports network. And they talked about how their rating outrated the Knicks on MSG, and they included national games. Why, if they, no one cares, why would you put that out? And oh, by the way, since then, guess which network has outrated the other? But we're not going to put out press releases about that. So don't tell me that this isn't a topic. It certainly is. It's clearly the story between one franchise that has a gigantic following and another one that doesn't. And the concern always is, you're going to steal fans from that franchise. The Jets had to do it, and they did it in 69 by winning Super Bowl. The Mets had to do it also. They did it by winning in 69 in the World Series. They came into the market, and then they had to take fans. And it took a long time to do that. The Nets have been around for a long time in the NBA now. They went to back-to-back finals with Jason Kidd. It hasn't happened. Yeah. And I'm wondering why. Because this Nets team is star-studded. Star-studded. But it's just not happening. In New York. Now, around the country, I would think it would because eyes in the NBA especially, you follow stars. James Harden, Kevin Durant, those guys have huge followings.
Right.
But locally, it hasn't had that same impact.
Because
so it's not a flawed concept. It's actually a legit question.
And there's certain franchises that have fans that are loyal to the logo and not the players. See, and I think the Knicks are one of those brands. Like we said before,
like the Lakers.
The Lakers and Boston are part of those brands. Like if LeBron left tomorrow, those fans ain't leaving the Lakers and going over and saying, I love LeBron. Snoop Dogg ain't walking away. Ice Cube ain't walking away. Like, oh, man, I'm for LeBron. No, they're going to stay right there with the Lakers where they at, right? You know, so it's one of those things where certain franchises that are or fan bases that are loyal to the franchise and not the person. It's like that in all of football.
But what about, it's true, but what about, L.A.'s a great point. There was a time the Clippers, Lob City, Blake, right, yeah. CP, like that team was, they were fantastic. The Lakers weren't good. The Lakers didn't make the playoffs for 6 years. But that, nothing changed. Like I want to know, in L.A., like, was Blake ever the guy, the main guy? No. Like, were the Clippers ever the main team? It didn't happen.
Still Kobe.
And I think it's just, it's interesting to watch when, I'm just saying, it's interesting to look at because it does test the theory of fans being in the NBA. Certain franchises you have, like you just said, the loyalty, brand loyalty, and other franchises or other, most players have, fans are fans of the player these days in the NFL and the NBA.
He ruffled your feathers, man. Let's get to another call.
Well,
he ruffled the feathers just a little bit.
No, got me fired up.
You had to get him where he needed to be. Because listen, the Nets are used to being in New Jersey, so it's hard for people.
They've been in Brooklyn for a decade now, more than that, right?
It's been that long. See, yeah. I've been here a decade and I didn't even notice.
No, they've been in Brooklyn for it's almost, it's got to be almost a decade.
I thought it's been like 4 years, man, and I've been here the whole 10 years. That's how little I pay attention to as well. I just go there for boxing matches.
No, let's go. All right, let's go next to Mel in New Jersey. Go ahead, Mel.
What's up, guys? Hey, man, I drive delivering packages in New York, and honestly, I listen to y'all show every day. I love it all the time. Thank you guys so much.
As a Nets fan,
and not even a Brooklyn Nets fan, I'm going to call these Nets the Phoenix, Houston, New Jersey, Brooklyn Nets. Oh, yeah, OKC, too, because throughout this team is a mixture of all of them to me. You know what I'm saying? And every night is entertaining to watch the Nets because you're getting the other team best shot. I feel like how Miami probably felt when they got their big three.
Good,
like,
comparison.
We're not going to get one. We're not going to get two. We're not going to get three. We're not going to get four. That felt great to say. You know what I'm saying? And
you know what's crazy?
One more thing.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and I don't think the Nets are ever really going to get that shine in New York, and I'm fine with that because even, like, the past 3 years, we've been, like, the 6th, 5th seed, and y'all wasn't even in, like, playoff contention. And, you know, nobody would ever talk about that. You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate you, though, Mel. No, I appreciate you. And you're right. And I think it comes back to the idea of, you know, when it comes to sports talk, you talk about what people want to hear. Like, people always say, why don't you talk about them? Because when we've done this, Bart, right? How many
times?
Didn't we lead with the Nets a couple of times? And it's like putting the call down, and it's nothing.
Especially early on before they got
you
James
say,
Harden.
You say, Frank Ntilikina played last night. Oh, my God. The phone's like light up. People go crazy. Frank Ntilikina played. So imagine that. A guy who hasn't played in 2 months, who already has been proven to be. It was the wrong draft pick. It's not the kid's fault. It was just not the right pick.
And then you watch
Yet he is treated. He is the golden child when he comes into a game. He's the golden child. That's just the difference. And I think I wanted to give that example to the rest of the country. We're all nuts here. If you haven't noticed, if you can't tell by looking at me right now on Plus, like, we're all crazy. But we also are extremely loyal to our teams. We can rip on our teams, but don't you dare do it. But in other places, I do notice, especially in the NBA, I do notice that you have more of a, I will follow a star around and be a fan of the star. And this is the one sport where that absolutely happens. Let's grab one more. Let's go with Kirk in Virginia. Kirk.
Hey, guys.
What's happening?
There was a record that came out from the Mothers of Invention roughly 50 years ago that had a lyric in it that said, you should be digging it while it's happening. And I think that's true in the case of these very loyal Knicks fans. They should enjoy it while it lasts. It may take a while to get better. And they should enjoy it while this is happening. That's all.
I appreciate that.
Well, live
Kirk,
in the moment.
I appreciate that.
I mean, it's like this, right? I was in L.A. earlier this week, right? And it was 82 degrees. Nice and sunny and hot. And I was burning. I was getting that vitamin D. And I came back here and it was cold. But guess what? Today is 50 degrees. So today, 50 degrees feels great to me. So
I got to cut you off.
Cut me off, damn it.
Plus just has up right now a graphic of the Knicks. Please put that graphic back up so I could read it. The Knicks' next 5 games and their chance to win them. Here we go again with this ESPN BPI. I got to meet with you people. Like, we got to have a meeting, whether it's Zoom or in person, and you probably don't want it to be in person. I'll need, like, seven masks with all the spitting I'll be doing.
Is one of
the
those
next five games. Listen to this. Listen to this. They play the Pacers. Pacers on a back-to-back. At Pistons, who are awful. Spurs. And then Pistons again. All right. I'll give you – Pacers, you want to say they're a better team? Fine. The Spurs, better team? Fine.
I'm going to split with the Pistons.
Do you know what BPI is saying their chance to win, to beat the Pistons? It's 49%.
Yes.
So they're not even favored.
Because it's a back-to-back, though. It's because of the schedule. Young team, as hard as they play on defense.
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense.
If it was Sacramento twice, I would go with you, but I can't go against
the
Pistons.
Just play, just guys who do the BPI, can you factor in the fact that the Pistons aren't trying to win? Doesn't that factor somewhere? Not trying to win. Where can we put that into the formula? All right, so sure. It's strength of schedule. It's expectation. All this, and then it should be also: are they trying to win? All right, we got to get off this guy.
Oh man,
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. I'm the crazy one. He's the guy they call Mad Backer, and I'm the crazy one.
When it comes,
we're brought to you
basketball.
By Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Right, by the way, this from Steph Bondi, who covers the Knicks for the Daily News. He said, heard the Knicks crushed the Nets in the TV ratings last night. Also beat them Sunday when facing the lowly Timberwolves, and the Nets were playing the Clippers.
Mic drop? Is this your mic drop?
No, this
Sex
is my
with chocolate?
Moment. Can I have the Kermit sipping tea meme? But it's none of my business.
Hey, you should go around your glass right now so it'll be get up, get out, so you can kind of put everybody in a trance, go to that sunken place.
Sink. You know what we'll do? You know what place we're going to go to right now? The place we're going to go to right now is always fun. It's Friday. It's time to take all that stuff that we've heard all week and put it through something so we can understand it better. And that's something we call the BS Translator. You ready for this, Bart Scott?
Let's do it.
All right, let's rev up the machine. So in the midst of a wild offseason of quarterback movement and uncertainty, 49ers GM John Lynch this week was asked if there was any doubt that Jimmy Garoppolo, Jimmy G, would be the starter next season. He said, quote, no, not at all. I mean, I really believe that. He then said, quote, when he's healthy, he's played at a high level. But we probably have to add someone. We probably need to improve ourselves. So if he's not there, we're all right. We can win games. But wait, there's more. Lynch also said, quote, being available is a big part of this thing. So probably as a stated goal, we have to insulate ourselves better. And we've got to have better options if he's not there. End quote. BS Translator, please decipher what Lynch is really trying to say here.
Man, Jimmy G is the Aaron Judge of football.
How dare you?
Oh, he looks good. Beautiful man. Beautiful. Handsome. Great on the eyes. Horrible on the field. I'm talking about this guy can't play dead right now in a country western. Boy, I like how you die, boy. He can't even die properly. Jeez. Like he couldn't hit it. He had one job. Emmanuel Sanders on a post. How the
still
hell
on
you
this.
Overthrow
You're still on this.
A damn post? And then the next year, guess what? You've been with us 2 years. You've missed the majority of two seasons every time you get there. I mean, come on. You came with all the tread on your tires from New England, and now we want to post and talk about he's a two-time Super Bowl champion. Yeah, right. Of course. He was there watching. He shouldn't even have a real ring. He should have one of the pendants that they give the wives of the players because that's how much he had to do with it. Like, come on. He's like, man, please get me somebody, anybody. Let me tell you something. Jimmy G's so bad that they went and got a Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen hasn't even touched the football in 4 years. He's like, man, please, just Rosen, just give me something. You know, and it's one of those things where they're winning in spite of him, not because of him. And John Lynch understands this. He's an expert on playing with bad quarterbacks. He played with bad quarterbacks the majority of his damn career.
Come
on. If anybody knows a bad quarterback, he's hoping that he's unavailable so he don't have to put him on the damn field. Like, come on. They were looking better with C.J. Beathard. C.J. Beathard. They were winning games with C.J. Beathard.
That is
like,
true.
Come on, man.
Right.
Like, so it's one of those things. That, listen,
you just emptied the clip. Like, we've got more to get to here. Yeah, like just one bullet at a time. But that was good, though. That's a good start. Okay. All right, this next one. Fernando Tatis Jr. signed the longest deal in MLB history. It is the longest deal in NBA history, too. 14 years, $350 million. The 22-year-old will be 36 when this deal expires. Tatis is young, but already an emerging superstar and the marketable face of the game and willing as well. So, to no surprise, at his press conference to announce the deal, he said all the right things. But this one needs further investigation because Tatis discovered what GM A.J. Preller called the statue contract, Bart. Tatis said, quote, "I want the statue on one team. I want to be able to stay on one team and build my legacy over here in San Diego." Knowing the history of these deals and how they almost never finish where they started, what do we get out of this from the BS translator, Bart?
Well, listen, this is a good deal, and this is something that I believe that all teams should start doing when you recognize that you have a transcendent talent. Pay them early so you don't have to have these ugly back-of-the-deal type of contracts, and you don't have to go back to the table and pay a guy twice like the Yankees had to play A-Rod, and they hated the end of that deal, but they had to pay him because he was still semi in his prime. Look at the guys now that are up now, and I'm not going to talk about Aaron Judge because he's almost 30 damn years old. I'm going to talk about guys like Ronald Acuna. Lock him up. Juan Soto, lock him up. Rafael Devers, lock him up. Gleyber Torres, hold up. I got to put a fat clause in his, though. I got to make sure that he comes out not looking like a tailback and comes out looking like he's in shape because last year he wasn't in shape. But I think that's the way you have to go right now. And listen, I think Tatis and I think San Diego has had a great offseason, adding Yu Darvish, adding Blake Snell. They're in a moment now where they're going for it. So it's
but
great
does he
to be
really
there.
Think he's going to finish his career?
Not at all, but he knows he has a good 10-year run. He has a good 10-year run. I'm sure somewhere if we go through it with a fine-tooth comb is some type of player opt-out that's put in there. You know, you can thank Giancarlo Stanton for that one because you'll understand that you've got to have these out clauses because teams will not – you know, they don't have to win. You know, I'm convinced that a lot of times, you know, you think about Albert Pujols, they were just more they were more worried about making sure that Pujols broke all the records while they had him in their uniform. It wasn't about winning because Pujols was
well, that's a whole other franchise situation.
Exactly.
The Padres are at least trying to win. It's a beautiful place to live. They have a beautiful ballpark, so there's every reason to stay. But as we know with these deals, it really happens where you finish the deal where you start. All right, last but not least. There's a lot of parity in the East, as I mentioned. You got seven teams separated by one game between fourth place and 10th. One of those teams that I expected to be in that mosh pit are the Boston Celtics. They're a mess this year. Wicked, wicked mess going on up there. Wicked. That's terrible. Two games under 500. They've lost 11 of their last 16. Celtics GM Danny Ainge offered this blunt assessment of his team this week while speaking on Boston Radio, which is, by the way, you listen to Boston Radio just for the callers. Oh. Anyways, here's the quote.
Sounds like Dave Gettleman. Read it in Dave Gettleman's voice.
No. This is Danny Ainge, so I can't read it like that because Danny doesn't have this accent. Oh, okay. Quote is, "Our roster obviously is not good. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That is who we are. If there's somebody to blame, Danny Ainge is to blame." End quote. That's Danny Ainge talking. Mm-hmm. So does the BS translator detect anything here?
Well, yeah, we call this self-reporting, right? I come at myself, so you can't come at me. But guess what, Danny? We agree with you because you've made some horrible trades. You brought in Kyrie. That was a mess up. You had Al Horford, got rid of him. That was a mess up.
How about the trades he won't make?
Right, but then
all these assets and they're not
turning
into anything.
He's had all the assets. He's anti-process, right? He had all these assets and being able to move around and all these picks. Listen, if you're paying attention in Oklahoma, make sure that you don't end up becoming like Danny Ainge, having all this power, and sometimes you can have too much of anything. And you can't make a real decision. Kemba Walker is done. Barbecue chicken cooked. And I think the fact that you don't have Marcus Smart around anymore or he's injured is really the glue guy that brought it all together. And now Danny Ainge is trying to self-report so he can say we can have some empathy. But guess what? We're one of these guys and we're one of these societies. When we see you down, we don't pick you up. We're going to kick you down even more because we hate you, Boston, and all your championships. Willis Reed ain't coming. Well, not Willis Reed. Bill Russell ain't coming out of those walls. They ain't walking out right here. Kevin McHale ain't giving with 25 pump fakes. You need the luck of the leprechaun. You had your window, and it's over with. Jaylen Brown and Tatum isn't enough, and I think you – listen, Brad Stevens, they're going to start coming after him.
Well, that, I think that's, I was going to tag it with this. I feel like what Danny Ainge is doing there is taking the blame because he has job security, and he knows that he's taking that away from Brad Stevens, who's getting a lot of heat right now. They've had a ton of injuries. You haven't had Kemba at 100%. Marcus Smart now being out. And those two, plus, as you mentioned, Brown and Tatum, they've been on the floor for a total of 28 minutes. So they really haven't had the core of the heart of their team together.
Sounds like a you problem.
But there have, yeah, that's true. And there have been moves that you could question about them and also moves they have not made. Holding on too much to assets, not wanting to, willing to give up. You hoard these picks and then you don't want to use them. That's always going to happen. So they have not gotten better to a team that a couple of years ago was one of the contenders. They have gotten worse, and there's nothing you can't deny it. They've gotten worse. So is it a roster issue? Yes. Is it a coaching issue? Yes. Is it also a talent issue? It's that too. The players have to play better. So they are right now in the midst of a mosh pit that they've got to get out of. And we'll see if they do, and we'll see if Brad Stevens survives.
121? Damn.
And that's it, yes. So that was fun. I love BS Translate. It's always a lot of fun. Tune in tomorrow for college basketball action. UNC hosts Florida State. Coverage begins at 3:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. By the end of the show, it's Friday. We'll give you the weekend watch and a bunch of different games for you to keep an eye on this weekend. But coming up as we get back into the NBA and the conversation involving the Nets, Kyrie Irving had a very bold suggestion about a move that the NBA could make that, if you look at it, does make sense. His reasoning, though, might be questioned. We'll discuss. Your calls as well at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN+.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Like I said, we're presented by Progressive Insurance with more than 30 unique coverage options available, Bart. Progressive knows small business. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Did you see last night the Nuggets-Wizards ending? Before we get to the Kyrie stuff.
I did.
Did you see this?
Yeah,
so the Wizards won again.
I blame on Steph Curry.
The Wizards win again, by the way. They won 112-110 over the Denver Nuggets, who are they're another team that's sort of just like
Bradley's
wallowing or just over 500.
Bradley's going to want to stay.
He does. He already said he does. But the end of this game was just unbelievable. So they get the turnover. They head the other way. Jamal Murray's got the ball in his hand. And it's basically a three-on-one.
Because they double Murray.
showing it on Plus right now. There goes Murray. Everybody runs at Murray. Three guys wide open. And guess what they all did? They all went to the three-point line. You're up by two at home. Oh, my God. Campazzo takes this off-balance three, and they lose. You're like, give it three-on-one. What are you doing? But I don't blame the players entirely. I feel like this is they're now it's like robotic. It's in their heads to stop at the 3-point line. And they show Michael Porter Jr., the young talent. He goes all the way to the damn corner. There's nobody in the paint. He's big enough where you could literally just you could just lob it at the rim and Porter would have just dunked it down and we'll go to overtime. But he's trained. Oh, it's fast break. They call it flat. I got to go right to the corner so I can space the floor. But that's one of those moments where the instincts have to kick in. Yeah. Time, score, situation.
Yeah.
Of get to the basket, score, and let's get to overtime. Bart, can you find an NFL equivalent to this where it's just you're so like trained, like you're robotic to, I just am supposed to go here, when feel of the game should have told you that's not what you should be doing right now?
Yes, we call it the sell route. We call it the sell route. It's when we put somebody low, we put somebody medium, we put somebody high. And it's a sell route, and it floods a zone. And no matter what, you know, you look at the guys, they get greedy. They get greedy, and they go for the home run when all they have to do is sometimes, you know, get in field goal range to kick the field goal. They want to take the shot instead of taking the one that's available to allow your receiver to run, take a knee, fall down, call a timeout, kick the field goal, and be a hero. You know, sometimes guys just they predetermine what they're going to do. And what happens is we always say it becomes muscle memory when you do it 10,000 times. You know they do this as a drill every single day.
Oh, 100%.
They get out and they do it in the drill and they go to their spots. But, you know, somebody has
his instinct.
Yes, somebody
that's what
has
it is. It was instinct to just run to the corner because that's my job in a fast break. But no, not when there's seconds left and you're down two. And there's nobody in front of you.
And the first thing that happens afterwards, you're like, oh, man, we have 3 seconds?
Facepalm.
Oh, man, because you're running down, and the time is just moving so fast, you can't. Oh, man, it was 3 seconds. It was 3 whole seconds left, and that's after he was getting double teamed.
I know.
Like, it was probably 4 seconds when they got down there.
All the Wizards ran at Murray. Murray, and I'll give Murray credit, because you don't want to ever call out your teammates, but that's a play that really, you know, upsets you. He had an angle that he put on Twitter of where there's literally 3 Nuggets players all along the three-point line, and there's no one in the paint.
None. Zero.
And he throws it to Capazzo because it's the only pass he had, whereas if, again, I just keep going
back
Capazzo to
Porter. Again? Who's Capazzo again?
He's one of their guards.
Yeah, but what's
well,
what's
he's what, he's what's actually shooting? An international player. I think he's played in Europe forever.
Yeah, shooting percentage, free agent. Like, you get it to the worst dude. Like,
he's not the worst dude.
Well, what I'm saying, to shoot that shot. You know what I mean? You got 10. Okay.
Well, the Wizards did the right thing. They shoot like
37%, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, 7 times out of 10, you're going to miss that shot. So you might want to go with the layup where you might probably have a 95% chance of making that shot.
I just felt so – I felt bad because you look at Porter Jr. and you're like, you know what he had to have been thinking the minute the ball goes up. And he's like, what am I doing here? Like, there's nobody in front of you. Michael Malone's a fantastic coach. He's got to probably watch that film over and over again, just saying to himself, like, well, they did what they were supposed to do. It's again, it's on
that's
plus.
On me.
Just
that's
look
on
at
me.
It.
He's saying, that's on me.
There's no – like, Porter's just standing there in the – why are you in the corner? The rule is, on the road, go for the win. At home, go for the tie. That's the rule. Get the 2 points. Get the sure points. But we're so fixated on the three now,
Malone
has been so affected.
Malone is like Money Mike and Friday After Next. You can take a girl to water, you can't make them think, player. I'm just playing. That's
there.
A joke. That's a movie quote. You can put him on the court. You can put him in the fast break. You can't make them think.
I got you.
Yeah, that was close.
Let's go back
that
to
was
also
close.
Something.
That was close.
Yeah, well, you're a habitual line stepper, and it is Friday. But you have something suggested by Kyrie Irving that I want to bring up to you. And I bring this up mainly because Kyrie – what I think is funny is that Kyrie Irving really hates the media. Hates talking to the media, hates what the media is about, hates the machine, the whole thing, because we create conversations, we talk about things – we don't really know the whole story, but we're willing to have a take on it anyway. But he's Spider-Man pointing at Spider-Man. He does the same damn thing.
He's Ultra Universe Spider-Man.
He hates what we're about, but he's about that life too. Mm-hmm. With a lot of stuff he likes to talk about and put out there in the world. Sometimes is it to get to us to react. He always just likes to say, a very cerebral, I like making people think. Well, what do you think we do? The same thing we do. We give you a take and we make you think about it. Maybe you'll react to it and it creates a conversation because that's entertaining and it's fun. But Kyrie brought up something that he started on social media that now becomes this hot topic that to me it doesn't bother me, like it doesn't mean anything to me, but it has created a bit of controversy. So it involves a post that he put up where it was a picture of a modified NBA logo with Kobe Bryant in the figure instead of it being the Jerry West silhouette. And he said, quote, gotta happen, IDC, I don't care what anyone says. And in all caps, Black Kings built the league. Vanessa Bryant, Kobe's widow, she shared it and added a caption, love this. Now, Kyrie, I don't know if he was asked about it, but probably knew he would be. So after the game last night, he said this.
Kobe Bryant, logo. Yes, needs to happen. I don't care what anyone says. Black Kings built the league. It's exactly what I meant. It's exactly where I stand.
He doesn't care what anybody thinks, which saying something like that doesn't really invite a conversation.
Right.
But Bart, I'll start with this. Jerry West has made it clear he's not really comfortable being the logo.
Never wanted to be the
logo. Never wanted to be. It was an artist that just took an image and used it as a logo. Baseball has a face, a player, as a logo. Some people think it's Carl Yastrzemski, I think, right? Basketball has one. The NHL has a shield. The NFL has a shield. The NBA, if it wants to change the logo, if people feel like you should change the logo, the idea of a white player from the 60s as the image, as the silhouette of a player in the NBA is obviously way outdated. There's no doubt about it. Jerry West was a great player, but let's be honest. It is an outdated image. No question. But Kobe?
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
well,
and I will say this
play.
Too.
It's a sentimental play.
Now, I want you to react to this, and you know I come from a good place. You and I are close enough that I feel comfortable saying it to you. But him saying Black Kings built the league, that creates to me something that I think is unnecessary in a sport that is, to me, the biggest melting pot of all sports. And oh, by the way, what built the modern NBA was actually black and white. Larry Bird, Magic Johnson. That's the foundation of the modern NBA and why everybody makes the money they're making and the success. Michael Jordan certainly jumped off that platform. But Bird Magic, watch the 30 for 30. Bird Magic literally saved the league. And it created that idea of a black rival and a white rival who went head-to-head in championships and first hated each other and guess what? Became great friends. That's a symbol, man. Like, you want to talk about something that you would want to celebrate?
Yeah.
Not separating one or the other. Not we're better than you. Yeah. Not we did this. Yeah, we meaning collectively. Dirk Nowitzki opened the door for European players to become superstars. There's no Luka Doncic without Dirk Nowitzki.
What's the guy that died before Petrovic from the Nets?
Drazen Petrovic could have been the same. Yeah, Detlef Schrempf. Like, you had other international players who have had success, but not to the degree of a Dirk Nowitzki. So, where is he in the equation? Because he opening the doors and opening the idea to a young Latvian who decided I could play in the NBA too, becoming Kristaps Porzingis.
Well, where'd you go? Do you go?
Jeremy
all
Lin,
the
being
the
Jeremy
Mutombo.
How about that?
African influence.
I mean, exactly.
Elijah.
So, you tell me if I'm off base.
You're not.
With my reaction. Listen. I don't care if you change the logo. I agree, but I don't agree with the assessment or his reasoning for it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was trying to get to the right place. He wants to honor Kobe. He's a Kobe fan. But I wonder just how many of these guys even know the true history of the game, right? I was looking at something that Ndamukong Suh was talking about, you know, when he was saying who his Mount Rushmore players were. And I was just surprised that so many people that he didn't really realize or knew that exists. And that just shows you the modern-day athlete, how deep they go in far as the history. You know, it's like weird. Like, athletes don't go back and they don't honor. We don't pay homage to, like, the entire history of the game, right? They only play, you know, they only pay attention to who he grew up and who he idolized growing up. Because I would probably say that he probably don't even know much about Magic and Bird when they were playing, knowing that the rivalry goes all the way back to college where Bird was at Indiana and Indiana State, and you know Magic was at Michigan State. You know, so him speaking that, like, you don't have to build somebody up, you don't have to push somebody else down. And for him saying, you know, that was like a subtle jab, which is going to spark division, saying, oh, that African American.
I think he was saying it from I think he was trying to come from a place of pride by saying that.
Yeah, but it wasn't necessary.
Well, again, if
they would say white people built it or white players built this league, people would have been outraged. Like, well, what about the contribution of the African American players? And then you alienate, you know, the other players, the European players. Well, what about the European players? And it's just a conversation that we don't really need to have. Because I think that the league is in a great place because it's an international game. We love what Yao Ming did for our game, opening it up to the Asian players, right? Yeah. He's a guy that really helped us take it to a billion consumer customers.
Well, again, opening the Asian market, of course, but I just feel like there's a lot of different people that you could talk about that has helped grow this game to become a global game.
David Stern.
And where it is right now. But if you want to talk about what built the modern NBA, I'm sorry. And I know you said you don't care. I know, Kyrie, you said that. I don't care what people will say or think. That's fine. But, you know, when you say I don't care what people think when you offer an opinion, it's very closed-minded. And don't we have enough of that in this world? That's just, Ian, that's my take on it. But don't forget that this modern NBA was built by Bird and Magic, a white guy and a black guy who were rivals, who hated each other at one point and became very close friends. If there's ever a foundation to jump off of,
Ebony,
it's certainly that one.
Ivory
Barton Hunt.
Together in harmony.
Coming up next.
I love it so much that my couch is black and white. Think I'm playing. I'll show you during the break, Alan.
Coming up next, your weekend watch. Games that you can't miss this weekend. We'll discuss. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
Let's go, baby. It's the weekend, and we got our weekend watch. We got games for you. And I'll tell you what, let's begin it with the NBA. On Saturday, you have the Nets. Speaking of the Nets, they're going to be on a lot of national TV. Because don't get me wrong, they're a great team. The only question was is how much are people in New York as excited about them as people outside of New York? And I also think there'll be more interest in them once they get to the postseason. Anyways, Nets-Mavs, more Luka, on ABC Saturday. And then you have the Clippers and the Bucks on ABC on Sunday. You know what else? You have that game on ESPN Radio. Giannis and the Bucks, Kawhi and the Clippers. It's presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. So you have that. You know what else you got, Bart? You know what else you got, Bart Scott?
What we got, foosball? No, I'm just playing.
No, we don't have foosball.
No, real foosball.
But we do but we do have spring training. We have games Sunday.
I remember the days.
You got 14 games on the schedule for spring training baseball. The boys of summer.
Any fans?
Dodgers, A's. You got Yankees, Blue Jays. You got Red Sox, Twins. You got the Padres, Tatis, and the Mariners with all their problems. You have that. And you know what else, too? How about some hockey? Let's do that hockey. I like this.
Penguins, Islanders.
This is what the schedule is so weird. Like you have teams playing like one after another against each other a ton. Penguins, Islanders, Saturday and Sunday.
Are they trading Sid the Kid?
But how about Sunday's game? Penguins Islanders Sunday at 5 o'clock on ESPN Plus. Now, hockey's a very physical sport. If you had to play a team back to back, like by that second game, it's brawl, right? Like you're brawl.
Oh yeah, you've had enough. We see it all the time in basketball when you got these long series. Guys that usually when get into it get agitated because you're looking at the film like, hold up, did he take a shot at me? So now you're setting guys up like, oh no, I'm gonna get that get back. Like, oh,
well, you just get tired of it. This guy keeps blocking my leg. He keeps hitting me. Whatever it is, keeps smacking my wrist. Sunday game, Penguins Islanders on ESPN Plus could be a little physical. Just saying, a little physical. All right, so we go into the weekend waiting to see if there's any news in the NFL with the quarterback carousel. You do have Russell Wilson. You do have Deshaun Watson. You have many others. Max Kellerman will take it from here, and I'm sure have more on that. Bart, have a great weekend. I will see you Monday.
Peace.
I'll holla.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.